9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for joining us on this Wine About a Wednesday, brought to you by our friends at Talon Wine. You can win a bottle of Talon Wine today. Rob's got a wine. My wine is Seth Davis claiming he would give Texas a bye if neither team scored 50 last night. Understand wasn't pretty's basketball game between CSU and Virginia, but come on, man.
Hey, well, they don't get a bye. Rams scored 67.
Yeah, so take that, Seth Davis, cousin Seth. Take that, buddy.
I mean, in Seth Davis' defense, they did have 41 points between them at half.
So it was looking...
Yeah.
Like, man...
That was
a possibility.
Yeah. That's a first half that needed sports gambling.
to keep people interested. To keep you locked in.
Yeah.
In CSU's defense, they played well last night. Joel Scott had his most impactful game of the season with a double-double last night for the Rams. Nick Clifford, 17 points, played really well last night. Yeah, I guess Seth Davis being a little snarky about that. But again, then again, there was some truth based on what he was saying.
Yeah, first half, that game sucked. Sorry, that's all there is to it.
It wasn't pretty. Nico Medved does not care that it wasn't pretty last night. Take the W. And how about a little Nico Medved from after the game last night? Here's Nico Medved on the win over Virginia.
We felt like we had an opportunity to win here tonight, but you know, that's a Hall of Fame coach over there. That's an incredible program, one that I have an unbelievable amount of respect for. And so, you know, I didn't see this coming like this way tonight at all. But I'm pretty pleased. So really pleased with our guys. I mean, these two young men and our whole guys just brought it tonight and just stayed in the moment. And what an incredible win for these guys in our program.
All right, so next up, Texas for the CSU men tonight. Colorado Buffalo square off against Boise State. And I know we had the text about the Mountain West being angry. Showed some of that last night, I guess, if you're flying the flag of the Mountain West Conference with what Colorado State did last night. Brian, by the way, was the one with the that the Mountain West teams are strong and ticked off. For Colorado State, they felt like they deserve better than what they got in terms of the seeding. But I also like what Nico Medved said going to that game last night, Buckeye. He said, well, we just got to go out and prove to people that they're wrong. And the only way you prove to people that you're wrong about your seeding is going out and beating a team out of the ACC and going out and beating them the way they did last night.
Like, they're going to have to win six. But they're in the first four, so they're going to have to win seven. Like, you can't, like, you just can't run out there and be like, all right, we beat Virginia by 25, mission accomplished. Like, the job's not done.
No.
You can talk about it after the season, but you can't get all worked up that, hey, we showed you. Now, after the season, no matter how the Rams finish, they can have the, yeah, you probably shouldn't have put us in the play-in. Because we smacked around Virginia. We smacked around a team that won this thing 5 years ago. So,
but also a team that has a history of
embarrassing
losses.
Yeah. You know, but still, you can't do that today if you're Nico Medved. No. You have a game to get ready for.
You got to focus on what's up next, and that's Texas.
Yeah. So, like, everything can be right. The Rams probably shouldn't have been seeded in the first four. That's for us to talk about now. Rams can't go out there and be like, see? Because what if they lose by 30 to Texas, then everybody's going to turn around and be like, well, see? So they got to go out there and they got to make a game of it with Texas. And then they got to do it again on Saturday if they beat
Texas.
Max
Abmas, they got to worry about the rest of the Longhorns and Tyrese Hunter in that group. I mean, that's where the focus is now.
So they got plenty of stuff to worry about as opposed to, see, we shouldn't have been in the first four. Well, then you were going to have to play Texas anyway. If that's your logic, put someone else in the first four and put us on that line.
But that's why I loved what Nico Medved said. It's like, well, okay, we can't do anything about that now. We're in the first four. We don't feel like we got the seating we deserved. We got to go out and show people that they were wrong about it. And like you know, like we were talking about, you do that by winning last night,
mm-hmm.
find a way to get past Texas and maybe make it a run to the Sweet 16 with this team. You do it by your actions, not by, or one game doesn't immediately erase all that away.
Right.
Then all of a sudden the selection committee is wrong because Colorado State went out and handled Virginia. See how wrong they were. The Rams can prove the selection committee was wrong by beating Texas and making a deep run.
Because all it does, beating Virginia, if that's all you do, shows that Virginia probably should not have been in the tournament. It doesn't do anything for you if you go out and lay an egg against Texas.
Right.
It's like, see, if you're not in the first four, this is what happens anyway.
Even if you go out and lose a close game, you lose by 5 or 3 to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They can say, look, we probably, you'd feel better winning that game. But you can at least say, maybe they were wrong about us. Being an ACC team, we pushed a Big 12 team to the limit in this tournament. We probably didn't get a fair seeding. But you got to go out and you have to go out and play and preferably win that game.
Yeah.
Because I still don't think that entirely says, oh, they were wrong if they go out and even lose a close game to Texas.
I think it helps.
It helps.
If you go out and you're within 5 points of Texas and say you lose,
you can make a case.
You can make a case that, you know what, Colorado State was better than we thought. But if you go out and you lose by 15, 18 yeah. points, all that is an indictment on Virginia. And it's like, well, yeah. they really shouldn't have been here.
Statement's even a better one, though, if you beat Texas.
Yes.
Let's just be honest about that. But if you get trucked, if you lose by 25, then everybody's going to be, see, yeah, they were right. They were right about you. And Virginia's just not very good. That's why they're in the playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you were in the playing game. You're right. There's more ground to stand on if it's a 5-point loss. But, boy, the case gets, it's far more compelling for Nico Medved if they find a way to pull off an upset.
Right.
And can they do it? I don't think they can, but I was getting some grief from Rod last night, big-time CSU fan, about me picking the Buffs to go deeper. Just because if they get the kind of performance they got last night from Joel Scott, if that continues, Nick Clifford continues that as well, then, and Isaiah Stevens and the way he can play, yeah, Rams got a shot here. They do. I just think Colorado still has more talent with Cody Williams, KJ Simpson, Tristan Da Silva, Lampkin, as we referenced with Mark Johnson in the 7 o'clock hour. Lampkin's become a bigger factor scoring inside. I just still feel like even with the Rams win last night, Colorado still has the talent to make a deeper run. We're going to find out tonight, though.
The Rams question marks are still bigger. The Rams ifs
yeah.
are more impactful. Like,
true.
If Joel Scott does this, if this player does this, the Buffs have some ifs, but I don't feel as if they're as big of a swing because they have more depth. They have more scoring.
Absolutely. All right. Also last night, Colorado Mesa basketball, Maverick men's basketball team, unfortunately saw their season come to an end last night, second time in the last 3 years in the Sweet 16 of the Division II National Tournament. They lost to West Texas A&M on their home floor last night in Canyon, Texas, 88-76. Mavs had the 8-point lead at halftime and were outscored by 20 points in the second half to lose the game 88-76 last night. Christopher Speller played really well this season, 18 points. He's kind of flown under the radar a little bit for the Mavs, I think, at times this season with the way Trevor Baskin's played. Mac Reniker, Baskin had 18 points last night. Ethan Menzies with 14 points. Isaac Jessup had 11 points last night. Thought I'd bring this back if you weren't with us in the first hour. Tyler Franson had the chance to talk with the Mavs assistant coach Kyle Boucher after last night's loss. And an incredible season, though. Most wins in CMU program history, even with the loss last night.
Joining us on the phone right now, the assistant coach for the Colorado Mesa Mavericks, Kyle Boucher. Coach, this is probably my least favorite conversation I'm going to have with you all year. But you guys had probably some of the best overall game you've put on in terms of shooting, in terms of just overall how you played. But unfortunately, West Texas just was the better team tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough one in an emotional locker room for certain, but, you know, we wish it went a different way and we played our guts out, but, you know, at the end of the day, West Texas, you know, they were able to stay on top.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the positives. That first half, obviously, a very positive, you know, you had the lead there. Ethan Menzies, I think it's fair to say, in this game in particular, probably had the best game that he's had all season, especially given all the circumstances around that. Just talk to me about how you thought Ethan did out there tonight.
Well, I mean, listen, Tyler, we talked two nights ago about how proud of our guys we were handling adversity, and, you know, that story stays the same even after a loss. You know, for Ethan to battle back like he did after the two injuries and then, you know, put himself in a position to contribute in the biggest game of the year, I mean, it brings a tear to your eye. And, you know, for all these guys to rally around Mac Rinneker, you know, I mean, we got two Trevors on our team and one of them's out, and no one made a single excuse and no one, you know, complained about it. It was just next one up and everyone battled. And, I mean, you guys should have been here to see our boys battle tonight. They played their absolute guts out. And so, you know, obviously we wish the result was different, but you can't help but feel anything but pride for, you know, the way our boys represented the university.
You know, it's tough to say. You never really want to play the what-if game, but, one has to kind of wonder, a guy like Mac Rinneker, if he's on the floor, maybe, you know, one or two possessions here are stopped, but Larry Y is a really hard player to stop. And so the final score on the scoreboard, 88-76. I just want to get your take real quick, though, on just how you feel about this season as a whole. This is one of the winningest teams in program history. This is only the second time you've gotten this far in the postseason. So really a lot of great things to take away about this season.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, a super emotional locker room. And, you know, one of our team captains, Levi Dombro, stood up in front of the team and just talked about how proud he was, you know, to be a part of this group. And we all certainly felt exactly the same way on, you know, every word he spoke. I mean, speaking for a coach, me and Coach DeGeorge and Coach Andrews, I mean, we can confidently say this is the best, you know, the best year of our lives. I mean, it was unbelievable. We have an amazing group of boys, and they bought into what we were coaching. And, you know, we went as far as we could go, and, you know, we had dreams of more, but, you know, unfortunately we fell up short. And, I mean, Tyler, I dare you to find a better team than both of the teams that played for tonight. Like, I mean, if West Texas can't win the national championship, I don't know who can. It was an absolute unbelievable game.
You know what? I don't disagree with you, Kyle, and you've never really been wrong in the times we've talked with you. Coach, we'll get you out of here on this. Just, again, you talk about how proud you are of this team. And so what can you say about the future? What do you think these guys, knowing that it might look a little different next year, a lot of guys have some decisions to make here. But as far as just right now, just tell me what it is that you kind of think about as you're starting to think about maybe next year.
Yeah, I mean, we're just proud of the season we had, certainly. And, you know, just once again, our boys competed at such a high level. We're just proud of them. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks for the future, certainly. You know, we have guys up with some decisions to make and with some graduations on the line. So, you know, we're just going to enjoy spending some, you know, more time together, even though it's after a loss. But we just want to enjoy being together, you know, as long as we can here for these last, even if it's 24 hours of travel. And we'll make the decisions about the future, decisions about the.
All right, that's Kyle Boucher, Maverick men's assistant basketball coach, with Tyler Franson after last night's loss to West Texas A&M. So, like we were talking about, an incredible season for the Maverick men, most wins in program history. But what does the future look like in terms of players like Trevor Baskin? Who, by the way, we should mention this about Trevor, continues to rack up the accolades and awards. Trevor Baskin is a top 25 finalist for the Bevo Francis Award. It goes to the best non-Division I college basketball player. Trevor is also named to the All-South Central Region first team from the D2 Conference Commissioners Association. So congratulations to him. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back on the other side of the break. We're going to dive back into the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament with Gonzaga voice Tom Hudson. They take on McNeese State coming up to open up the tournament. We'll have that coming up next on A Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine.
Well, why don't you cry about it?
Got something you want to complain about today? We've got a text from the guru we got to get to as well. Send that to us today on the team line, 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. And some thoughts about the CSU Rams win last night over Virginia. Also, if you haven't got your bracket in yet, make sure you get to our website, theteam1340.com, for a Bracketpalooza powered by Ed Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick. Get your bracket in. You have until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning to do that. Go to theteam1340.com. to fill out your bracket. All right, joining us, as he usually does around this time of the year, the voice of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, worked here in the Valley for KJCT News 8. On the TV side before going up to Spokane and calling the Gonzaga Bulldogs for so many years, Tom Hudson joins us. Tom, always a pleasure, my friend. How you doing?
Jim, I'm doing great. It's great to talk to you. About a month ago, I'm not sure a lot of people thought we'd be having this conversation.
Well, and there are people that still...
So there was some doubt surrounding our team.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that in a moment, certainly. But also, there's some doubts from folks like Seth Davis whether you're going to be calling more than one tournament game with McNeese State coming up. And I'm just reading some of the comments from Seth Davis, who's drawn the ire of some of our listeners about his comments about last night's CSU-Virginia game. But, Clark Kellogg, last season, Clark Kellogg picked your team to win the national championship. But, this time around, like you said, not so many believers in the Gonzaga Bulldogs right now. And Seth Davis from CBS, he picks McNeese State to take down your Zags. And I get where he's coming from in terms of some really positive things about McNeese State. They're 30-3 on the season, set a program record for total wins, most conference victory since the 2001-2002 season. There's a lot of things about them. Finished 56th in the net rankings. Your Bulldogs finished 17th. I mean, there's some positive things about McNeese State, but this is Gonzaga still. This is a program that's become a blue blood, and it's a team that, at least it feels like, Tom, maybe start to figure out some things at the right time, hopefully, for Mark Few.
Yeah, Jim, we have, and it's funny, right? I mean, sometimes I feel bad for the teams and the players. You have the selection show, and then it's, all of a sudden it's like, okay, pick the upsets, and then McNeese State's just kind of sitting there minding their own business, right? They're like, hey, we made the tournament, really excited about it, and then all of a sudden, Seth Davis, Clark Kellogg say, hey, these guys, this is the upset pick. This is the one that's going to happen. And then immediately you look at our guys' faces, and they're like, well, wait a second. Okay, not that we necessarily needed extra motivation, but here's a little bit, you're going to disrespect us and say, all right, we're the team that's going to lose in the first round that's not supposed to lose. So I always kind of chuckle at that when they make those calls, right after the deal, and the team that's a favorite just says, okay, well, we'll remember that as we're preparing for this. But, yeah, we're playing good right now, Jim. We've kind of figured it out, and I think it's going to be one of those things in this current era with the NIL and the transfer portal and people moving around. Obviously we lost Drew Timmy last year, and it's funny because nobody seems to mention that as we were trying to kind of find our way early in the season. He's one of the best players in the history of college basketball. I mean, you're trying to figure that out. We lost 8 players. We brought in some really talented guys, notably Ryan Demark, point guard from Creighton, Graham Ike from Wyoming. He's been fantastic for us. But, Graham hadn't played for a year and a half because he had a foot injury. And so, I think what Coach Few's done with this program is we've gotten to this level where the expectation is so high. It's like, okay, well, Gonzaga is just going to, roll out another 25-win season and they're going to be in the tournament. And, we lost a few games early on, I think, while we were trying to find our way and guys were trying to find their roles. And I think we've kind of hit our stride here a little bit. The WCC tournament championship game hopefully was a little blip for us against St. Mary's. But, yeah, I think we've started to figure out. We lost a kid, Steele Venters, who was the Big Sky Player of the Year at Eastern Washington just down the road from us. He had a knee injury in the preseason. He's a 42-43% three-point shooter. So we've missed him. And our games that we've lost where we've not played well, it's been our three-point shooting. I mean, I think in our 7 losses we've shot 25% or worse from behind the three-point line. So that hurt a little bit. But, some of our guys, Nolan Hickman, one of our veteran guys, he was our point guard last year. He moved off the ball with Nemhard coming in. He started to find his way. He's shooting a little bit better. They moved Ben Gregg into the starting lineup. He's been fantastic for us and really provided a spark. So, yeah, it's been remarkable to see this team kind of come together. But like I said, Jim, I think in this era, you're going to see this kind of stuff more and more. You know, you're not necessarily building, you know, programs with four-year guys from within. You know, you're adding guys as you need them. And I think it just takes a little while to figure it out and for everybody to understand their roles.
Gonzaga radio voice Tom Hudson with us today on the Team Sports Network with McNeese State. Shahada Wells, their top scorer this season, almost 18 points per game. He's shooting 40% from three-point range. You talked about the struggles your Bulldogs have had. Tom, shooting the three, also have had some challenges defending the three as well, and that's going to be a big factor in this game coming up tomorrow. Can Gonzaga do a better job defending McNeese State's Cowboys and from the three-point line?
Yeah, it will be. You know, it's funny. We actually played well last year when he was at TCU in the NCAA tournament. And it's funny, again, you go back to this transfer portal thing, and, you know, he's one of probably five guys, I think, on their roster that's at his third school. You know, and it was funny because last year he played 5 minutes against us. I think maybe he had two rebounds. I mean, he was not a factor at all. And then you look at him this year, and you're like, oh, my goodness, look at that. I think, Jim, on top of what you said about him scoring, you know, 18 and shooting 40% from three, I think he's the only guy in the country who's, you know, 17.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 3 steals a game. I mean, he's had a heck of a year, you know, given the opportunity to play more. So he's obviously going to be one of the big keys for us. And then, you know, one of the things that I think also is going to be a huge key, they really turn people over, right? I mean, they force 16.5 turnovers a game. It's a pressure defense. You know, they get up into you. When we've gone on this run where we've won 9 of 10, you know, I'd say probably over the last half of the year, we've really taken great care of the basketball game. I mean, in West Coast Conference play, we averaged about 8.5 turnovers a game. We really did a great job of taking care of it. I mean, a couple nights ago, we had 3 turnovers. You know, I mean, we've played really well in taking care of the ball. So I think that's going to be one of the keys, too. But you're right. He's dangerous. He's had a heck of a year, and it's scary to think, you know, you play these teams and you don't see them much and you don't know a lot about them. They're not televised much, you know, where we are, and you don't get an opportunity. And then you look at those stats and you see a few highlights and you say, oh, no, you know, this is a guy who could end your season for sure.
Tom Hudson, voice the Gonzaga Bulldogs, joining us. Gonzaga takes on McNeese State tomorrow in Salt Lake City in the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Getting back to the Zags shooting the three and being more efficient, more effective in that area, Tom. Antoine Watson, second leading scorer at almost 15 points per game. He's 40% from three-point range. I would think just looking at the numbers, just giving those a cursory look, that Antoine Watson's going to play a fairly significant role in this team having success from the three-point line.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and he shoots it sneakily well, right? He doesn't shoot it a lot, you know, we've had teams just kind of dare him, and that's been his career. You know, where teams kind of back off him a little bit and dare him to shoot it, and he's gotten to where he's a 38-39% shooter, and he's just competitive as anybody is. And Jim, he's been one of my kind of favorite stories for this team. You know, he's a local kid. He played at Gonzaga Prep, and it was a fun story. You know, him and Drew Timmy, you know, we're buddies from the time they walked on campus together. And, you know, Anton decided to stay for a fifth year while Drew moved on. He's playing the G League. He's actually hurt, but went on to play. But those two kids took every single class together in college, right? Right. I mean, these guys were best of friends. You know, they lived together. And, you know, and Anton was kind of in the shadows a little bit. You know, his game to this point has been, you know, kind of a role player. He does so much stuff for us. He still does those things. He's great at the top of our press. He's a guy who defends really well. He's a good rebounder. He's the guy that, you know, you've got your hands on the ball, you think you're going to rebound it, and he tips it away from you, you know, to a teammate, and we get opportunities that way. But it's been fun to see, because so much of what he's done in his career has happened this year. You know, you love it when a kid comes back for one more season and he plays really well. And you know, on senior day, I was going back and kind of looking through, and of his, you know, whatever it is, about 70 career double-digit games that he's scored, you know, 25 of those have come this year. He's got 2 30-point games this year. I mean, nobody thought that he was going to be a guy that you could really lean on to score that heavily. You knew that the talent was there, but it wasn't necessarily something that he'd been asked to do. And so it's been really fun to see him produce at the level that he's producing. And he will be a huge key. When he plays well, you know, when we went to Kentucky and beat them, and obviously that was a focal point of our season, he was just unbelievable. And like I said, not just scoring it, which he did, you know, he got to 20, maybe 17 in that game, excuse me, but, you know, did so many different things. He's a great defender. He can defend all five spots. So he's going to be a huge, huge part of what we're doing. But it's one of those things you love to see, Jim, you know, a guy playing his best at the time that, you know, you're asking him to and that he's maybe expecting to. So he will be a big key tomorrow.
Gonzaga radio voice Tom Hudson with us today on the Team Sports Network. Tom, I want to ask you something that's kind of away from tomorrow's game with McNeese State, and that's about name, image, likeness, NIL, and how Mark Few and how Gonzaga has approached that situation, the transfer portal, because Gonzaga is a unique situation in terms of a school that was a mid-major that has blossomed over the years into one of the true blue bloods of college basketball, but still a smaller institution than a lot of the blue bloods, all the big programs in the country. How's the school handled that particular aspect, which has become a challenge for folks across the college landscape, not just in basketball, but football and other sports as well?
Jim, it has been crazy how quickly this thing has blown up, right? I mean, it went from name, image, likeness. So, okay, you know, and we use Drew Timmy as an example all the time. I mean, Drew was the true definition of what name, image, likeness should be. He was a superstar. Everybody in Spokane loved him. Great personality. That could, you know, he could sell cars. He could sell headphones. He could, you know, I mean, you wanted him to be representing your company, right? And now it's turned into, okay, we're just going to put a collective together and we're just going to see how much money we can put in the bank and we're just going to pay kids, right? And so that part of it is difficult. Trust me, the number of conversations that I sit and have with, you know, with people within our athletics department and people that are close to the NIL situation, it's a huge, huge factor in what's going on right now. And it's a shame, right? Because when you look at a program like ours, and we were having this conversation last night and on the plane coming down, just, you know, what it is that's made this program what it is. And, you know, we go back and start talking, hey, you remember back in 2012 when this happened, or, you know, 2016 when we almost missed the tournament. And then you start talking about the players who helped us win those games. And you're like, well, he was a four-year guy. These were kids who came in who we, you know, we built up and we built our program. And that's been one of the biggest parts of our success has been our consistency and our continuity. You know, and you talk about family. I know sometimes that becomes a little bit of a cliche in sports, but, you know, that's been a lot of what we've been able to do. And now all of a sudden you're in a situation where, you know, even if a kid's happy in your program and he's playing well, you know, somebody can just pick up the phone and call him and say, hey, we've got – pick your number, right? I mean, you don't even know what the numbers are out there. Right? You hear so many different things, but – you know, somebody just calls and is like, hey, I know you're averaging 8 points a game as a freshman, and I know you're going to have a major role next year at your school, but, hey, I've got $100,000 to come and play for us.
Yeah.
You know, a 19-year-old kid is sitting there, and he's like, well, $100,000? Okay, right? And so now all of a sudden you're caught up in this situation where, you know, do you get into a bidding war? Do you not? Does the kid just leave? Now all of a sudden you've got a hole to fill. You know, and it is hard because we don't, for, you know, I mean, for everything that we've done and for as well as, you know, our athletic department has grown this program, you know, and the resources that they put into it, it is hard every year to go and ask people, you know, okay, well, I know we're asking to help with this. We also need this money so that we can pay the players. And that part is a little bit tricky. And so, you know, I think like a lot of schools, you know, we're still trying to navigate through it and figure out what the best is. I think, you know, one of the things that we'll probably try to lean on here, Jim, especially in the early parts of this while it's happening, is, you know, finding the kid that, you know, obviously you're going to, you know, pay the kids, but maybe, you know, you find a kid who understands, you know, hey, you know, these guys have put, you know, eight guys in the NBA over the last 3 years. You know, it still makes sense to go here. I may not get, you know, my extra, you know, 50 grand on the front end, but hey, if I'm playing in the league, $50,000, right? I mean, I'll spend that at breakfast this morning, and who cares, right? Because I'm making $40 million a year, right? And so I think that's going to be kind of one of the things. Is you're still going to try to lean on, you know, your culture and lean on your success. But it is scary that, you know, we played a University of Washington team this year that we had beaten, I think, it was 12 or 14 years in a row. And, you know, you start digging into the roster a little bit, and, you know, they had given a lot of kids a lot of money to go to Seattle to play, you know, and then they ended up, I think, 17 and 15, you know, so they didn't have a great year, but It's so hard because, like I said, so you're drawing these kids away from programs where, you know, maybe they're happy, you know, maybe they're not, and that's okay too if you're going to leave. But there's so many things you don't know. I mean, if you look at our roster, Watson's the only kid that we lose next year, you know, and we get Steele Venters back. So you would look at us and you say, gosh, those guys are going to be a preseason top 10 team with what they have. But I can't tell you right now, what our roster is going to look like in June. And that's bizarre. And you and I have had this conversation. I'm not against the kids getting something to play. I think we've reached that point where, you know, you ought to be able to, you know, get some money in the kids' pockets. But the question is this the right way to do it? And I think a lot of people are starting to figure out that it's not. And you know, hopefully it doesn't ruin, you know, not just college basketball, but college football as well, like you said, because it's a little scary. I mean, we saw that Nick Saban thing, right? He was like, hey, it's like, I got kids coming in saying, how much am I playing? And if I'm not, I'm leaving. And how much money are you going to pay me? Well, that's not what this should be about. You know, and so it is a little bit frustrating.
How's Mark Few handled it from his standpoint? Because I know Mike Krzyzewski made some comments the other day and was kind of, I think, in a way, trying to push back a little bit on Nick Saban about Nick Saban, you know, the comments you mentioned and why Saban decided to retire. Because Krzyzewski's like, well, it was just time for me to go, but I would have welcomed the opportunity to try to navigate those waters and adapt. And so there was a little bit of a pushback there. Where's Mark Few on something like this? You know, guy that's been coaching for a long time, extremely successful. What's Mark's take on this?
You know, Jim, I think the biggest take is it's kind of that. I think it's like, well, it's here. It's not going away. So we need to go and attack it. Like, we have to figure this out one way or the other. And, you know, I think it's what's made him such a great coach. I mean, I think when, you know, you go back 25 years, you know, that we've made the tournament and when this whole thing started to grow and his attitude with, you know, his assistant coaches, like, why can't we start figuring out ways to win and going to the tournament and becoming a big time program? I think it's just almost the next chapter, you know, for him. And I don't know that he particularly likes it. I know for a fact that he's all in on, you know, the players to be making some money. He's not, you know, trying to deny that. But like I said, I do think that, you know, he's just trying to figure out what it is and how it's working. Because, you know, again, I know for a fact, and I won't name names, but, you know, we had a kid, you know, on the hook that had committed to sign to us last summer, and you know, and then the next day there was an announcement that he had signed with another school, and the reports that came out that we were hearing was that that other school at the last second offered him a ton of money, and the kid left, and so you're frustrated because, you know, here you put in all this time, you put in all this effort, and then you know there's nothing that anybody has to really answer to, and so I think that there's some frustrations in that, you know, part of it. But yeah, I mean, kudos to Coach, because I think, like I said, his approach is we've got to figure this out. Hey, if we're going to stay competitive and we're going to keep doing things that we're doing, we've got to figure it out. And, you know, and this year we did, I mean, between Graham Ike and Ryan Nemhard and Steele Venters, I mean, those were, you know, three of the more coveted, you know, not most necessarily, but more coveted, probably top 15, top 20, you know, the transfer portal last year. And we were able to get those guys in. So he'll keep fighting. I tell you that. He'll keep fighting, you know, trying to find ways and figuring out how it is that we can stay competitive. But like I said, it is tricky. That's interesting to hear Coach K say that. I don't know that I've heard any other coach say I would have embraced or I'm embracing the fact that we have to go and, you know, figure out a way to raise a couple million dollars a year so that we can put together a team. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah, I think it was just more of a I would have been willing to take on the challenge of trying to adapt what I do to sure. try to make this work, and mm-hmm. and he didn't really say he had the answer, the solutions to it, but was more, I retired for a different reason than that, and right. I know Nick Saban's kind of taken a step back or two a little bit on it, but it does. I mean, it makes it a challenge for coaches to try to navigate those waters. I do want to ask you one final thing. I know there's some talk at one point several months ago with Gonzaga and the Big 12. Where do things stand right now for Gonzaga and in that particular area?
It's, you know, Jim, it's crazy how just kind of fluid all of that stuff has been. And getting back to the NIL and trying to adapt to that and figure out, you know, what you can do to keep your program going. You know, just how much stuff is changing around the country. And I mean, You know, you look at the commissioner from the SEC the other day coming out and saying that we need to expand the tournament, not to make it better, but to get more, you know, mediocre Power Five teams into the tournament, so it's a little bit kind of frustrating when you're watching this. And, you know, I mean, you talk about Colorado State and what they did to Virginia yesterday. Yeah, I would maybe argue that, and I know it's only one game, but wouldn't you maybe argue that a mediocre Power Five didn't deserve to be in the tournament if they can't score, you know, 45 points in a game?
Very true.
I mean,
exactly.
And, you know, and so as you're trying to navigate through all of this stuff right now, you know, with the NIL and with conference expansion, I think what you're concerned about is being left out, right? Is that all of a sudden, you know, that kind of talk, there's a groundswell of support for it in those power, I guess, four now conferences, Pac-12 being gone, you know, and all of a sudden, if you're in a conference that isn't, you know, one of the top, whatever it is, five in the country, maybe you're going to be left out of the NCAA tournament, right? Maybe things are going to change to a point that they all kind of say, hey, we're just going to break off and do our own thing. And then, you know, you other, you know, 27 conferences, we don't care. Just do whatever you want to do. And so I think we're in a situation where they're just trying to figure out what to do and where to go, because I, you know, Coach Few and our administration don't want to be left out, right? Right. For everything they've done to build this program up and get it to this national level, they want to figure out how it is that they can continue to be relevant and continue to play at the highest level. So, you know, I think that stuff's always going to stay out there, Jim. You know, it was funny. It kind of felt like it was moving forward pretty good. And then, you know, all of a sudden with Colorado, Utah, Arizona State jumping in, I think that, you know, that cooled it off a little bit. But I do know, I mean, everything you hear from Brett Yormark, the commissioner, he's really trying to build that thing up, right? And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of the next move is there. So I know that we've kept our options kind of open, and, you know, and our athletic director always says, hey, we're proud members of the West Coast Conference, and you know, we've been able to do a lot of great things from here. But I do think that you just have to, you know, keep your eyes open and look around. So, you know, it's like musical chairs, right? You don't want to be the last person standing there, you know. And so it's been a little tricky. And, again, that's a shame to me, too. And, Jim, I'll go on my rant real quick. I hope we have enough time. But, you know, I get frustrated. You know, college sports is the only place where you don't have one singular voice leading the way. Right. So like the NL East doesn't have a commissioner and, you know, and they're not calling and saying, hey, we think if we had the Dodgers in the NL East, we'd be better and we'd be able to get a bigger television contract. So let's have the Dodgers come and join, and then signing them away from the NL West. Right. It doesn't work that way in college sports. It does. Right. I mean, you've got all of these commissioners and the one thing that they're looking out for is their own conferences. Right. The guy running the SEC, I don't blame him. The guy running the Big 12, I don't blame him. Right. They're doing what's best for their conferences, what they've been hired to do. But is it good for the totality of the game and the sports? And I don't believe it is. Right. And so to me, that's a little frustrating, because all these, you know, different entities are kind of reaching and grabbing to make sure that their entity's okay. But there's no one leader. Right. The NFL has a commissioner. Right. The Major League Baseball has a commissioner. The NBA has a commissioner, and they look out for the best leagues. And right now, I don't think you have that, and it's to me is pretty glaring as we head down this road. Because my goodness, I mean, how much fun was last time? If you're a Colorado State fan, I mean, I know you didn't want to play on Tuesday, but this is the best time of year. I mean, how much fun is this right now? You know, and to think that you might move into an era where, you know, half of the tournament is teams that are 18 and 16. You know, but they play in these big conferences, so they get invites, and then, you know, the other conferences are left out in the cold. It's tricky right now. Yeah, you know, I wish that there was somebody who was looking out for the entirety of the game, and not just basketball, but all of college athletics, because it's crazy to see how fast things are moving right now and what we're doing with it. But that's just me and you talking. You know, it's a pipe dream. Nobody listens to the radio guy from Spokane, but that's...
Well, if they don't listen to you, they're certainly not listening to me, Tom. Trust me.
Right. I mean,
they're certainly not going to listen to this guy here. So, yeah, and you think Charlie Baker, you know, NCAA president, you know, that title would carry some clout, but as we know, that doesn't... It's a paper tiger, the NCAA. And when it comes to Division I sports now, it's merely window dressing. Hey, one final thing. Did you get the picture I sent you?
I did, Jim. That is so awesome.
Number one, I'm just... You look the same. I'm thinner now, and I don't know what the deal was with my hair that day. I look like I dumped a bucket of lard on my hair. I don't know what, and I was eating a cookie. It's like there's nothing worse than having a bad hair day eating a cookie in a picture to have you just look like an absolute I don't know. I don't know what the deal was that day. My wife looked at that picture and kind of went, oh, wow, that's what I wouldn't want to share with most people. But I wanted to share it with you, Tom, since it was back in your days here in town.
Jim, I appreciate it so much. It's so much fun seeing pictures from way back then, right? Because everything's on a phone now, and you don't know, and you look at those, and you're like, wow, gee, that's crazy. And it's not even in black and white. It's color.
Like, it's a color picture, yeah.
We're not quite that old, right? But no, what? So much fun, Jim, and I just love it. I love getting a chance to talk to you and, you know, and seeing a picture like that, just all the memories and everything it brings back. And I actually have something I've got to send you, and it's been in my garage, and I've been meaning to do it for a couple of years. But I've got an old Mesa State football cap that I need to send your way.
Oh, wow.
So we're not CSU Mesa. I mean, it's the old school Mesa State Mavs that I've had. I've never worn it. It always kind of sat on my shelf in my office. And I was like, you know what? Like, I bet Jim could use this thing. This would be nice to have in the studio.
Sure,
so I've got to get that your way as well. But it's great. Every time I look at it, every time I pick it up, just, you know, great memories from being back there. But I'm gonna send that your way, and I say you can wear it, I guess, if you wanted to. But you can
we'll find a nice
display
one.
It, whatever the heck you want with it.
A place to display it here in the studio with all my other little knickknacks in the studio. Hey, Tom, always a pleasure. Hopefully we'll get you on again here. Hopefully talk about a Gonzaga win over McNeese State. Appreciate the time as always, my friend. Have a great call tomorrow.
All right, Jim, appreciate it. Wonderful talking to you, and we'll talk soon.
All right, take care. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga, joining us on the program this morning. Always great talking with Tom Hudson. All right, let's quickly dive into four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, start things out with first down and a comment from the NCAA tournament from Howard. The players, of course, lost to Wagner last night, 71-68. And Howard University guard Bryce Harris, who had this comment after the game, and they lost, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Playing on a basketball team is one of the more beautiful things in life because it gives you a group of brothers who have a common goal. It allows you to have a deeper connection past just being a teammate. Good stuff there. I mean, that's after they lost that he had the composure to make a great comment like that. All right, second down. The deal is now done with ESPN, the college football playoff contract extension. It's three quick takeaways here. National championship is going to go to ABC. Starting in 2026, it will be on ABC over-the-air TV.
Okay.
Also, ESPN will be able to sub-license some college football playoff games. So they'll be able to...
Like Disney Channel?
To farm them out to others to carry the games.
Okay.
Like the NFL moved the game to have the game on Peacock and Amazon, mm-hmm. ESPN could offer that to those entities potentially. Also, ESPN remains the sole rights holder even with the expansion. So if they go to 14, they'll still have the rights to the college football playoffs. All right, third and fourth down.
Early reactions to the Major League Baseball season. Freddie Freeman's on pace to hit 0.0 for the season.
Uh-oh.
Poor guy. It's all over.
It's all over. Freddie
Freeman, yeah.
He only has 161 games left to redeem himself.
Shohei Ohtani on pace for 360 hits and 164 RBIs.
Fantastic.
One of those would be a record. He also stole a base, which you and I were talking during the breaks. Like, if I'm Dave Roberts, mm-mm.
Stop it. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, we know we're only paying you $2 million a year for the first 10 years, but we wanted you to play all 10. What are you doing? So don't try to steal 30 bases. We got other people that'll do that. You jog around the bases. You don't run around the bases.
Exactly. Chicks love the long ball.
Chicks dig the long ball, especially former Japanese pro ballers like your wife. Probably digs the long ball very much. She's a three-point shooter. She obviously would. Now, this is more of a rhetorical question. The future of NFL Network is? Question mark. Total Access is off this week. Like, dark. Good Morning Football, starting next week, is on a hiatus because they're moving to Los Angeles. There's still talk of maybe a merger with ESPN. The future of NFL Network, kind of in doubt this summer.
I would say so.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think that,
you wouldn't
right?
think that.
All right, that's four down territory. All right, let's jump into just two.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History.
All right, 1965, led by Gail Goodrich's 42 points, UCLA beats Michigan 91-80 to win the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Also on this day, 1973, Roberto Clemente elected the Baseball Hall of Fame just 11 weeks after his death in a plane crash. The usual five-year waiting period before election voided for Clemente because of his tragic death, taking relief items to the earthquake victims in his home country. So that's this day in sports history. Quick break. We'll come back and a special edition today of Inside the Garage with NASCAR Fred. That's on the way next.
Craptastic.
That's just crap today.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody,
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, and we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, you ready to go in the air? Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, joining us today because we'll be off tomorrow morning, the 9 o'clock hour for the NCAA tournament. It's time to go in the garage of NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, it's NASCAR. Fred, and Fred, Denny Hamlin wins at Bristol. And I love the fact that the fans who don't like him threw cucumbers at him. But I love the fact even more that Denny Hamlin picked up the Bristol sword and decided to do some slicing and dicing on those cucumbers after he won. I thought that was a pretty funny move by Denny Hamlin.
Oh, I think he's kind of embracing this whole thing of everybody booing him and hating him. I mean, you know, the driver everybody loves to hate. And I got to say, though, when they interviewed him at the start-finish line after it, he's pretty low-key. I mean, he didn't put in people's faces. And, you know, he kind of – I think he knows that I beat your favorite driver thing is kind of played. So he's got to come up with a new angle. But I don't know. It seems like he sort of thrives on that, I guess. But, you know. More power to him.
You know what's interesting?
Thinking about Sunday's race, can you imagine if you drove from Grand Junction to Delta, and by the time you got there, you put brand new tires on, drive to Delta, and by the time you get there, they're worn down to the cords.
That's incredible. Yeah.
At $1,500 a set.
Ooh, that is pricey. That's very pricey.
That's what was happening with their tires on Sunday, and nobody really knows why. They're still looking into a good year in NASCAR because they were the same tires they used in the fall and ran, you know, 120 laps on them. But this time, after 50 laps, they were toast. So that made life really interesting.
No doubt. $1,500 a pop, yeah, makes it, for the rest of us, makes it interesting. NASCAR teams, it's not quite as big a deal, but still, more money than they want to spend. So Denny Hamlin wins at Bristol, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Alex Bowman, and Kyle Larson, your top five. So the points look like this right now with Kyle Larson on top, Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, William Byron, and Daniel Suarez, your top five in the points right now.
And a couple of interesting things about that race. It's the first time in a long time that there are only five cars that finished on the lead lap. I think it's been, you know, 20 years or something since that happened. And also a record number of lead changes, 54 lead changes in that race. The old record was 40 on a short track. So it was definitely an interesting race. Looking at it through the top 10 here, John Hunter Nemechek. Might want to watch this guy, the number 42 car. He's starting to make some noise. He finished fifth. He's working his way up in the points. Chase Elliott, Ty Gibbs. No real surprises other than maybe John Hunter Nemechek. And, you know, a couple of drivers finished out of the money. Kyle Busch, 25th. Tyler Reddick, 30th. Byron, 35th. So there you go.
All right. We're in the garage of NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. For pricing information, go to MontroseFordNissan.com. Before we talk about Texas, did see this where Chase Elliott is going to honor Dale Earnhardt Jr. with a special color scheme at the race at Darlington coming up on May 12th.
That's one of the fun things about that Darlington race is they, you know, they run these throwback paint schemes, and some of them, you know, just go back to so-and-so from 2002, and some of them go way back to paint schemes that, you know, David Pearson or Richard Petty or somebody ran back in the 60s or 70s. So that's always a fun part about it. And I don't know if it makes Dale Jr. feel old to say, okay, they're paying tribute to you. I suppose he's probably used to that.
I did watch, watch basketball the other night. Where Dale Sr.
Yeah.
Is the taxi cab driver.
Yep.
That was great. It was hilarious. All right. So, of course, we have Echo Park, Texas Grand Prix Circuit of the Americas coming up on Sunday. Fox TV for that one, 1:30 our time. And so I guess from last week, How did we finish up last week?
Oh, you know how we finished last week. You picked Denny Hamlin.
Yes, I know. I decided. So I want to hear you say
it. You just wanted to hear it.
You get the...
There's a big, hairy American winning machine.
Yeah. This is unconfirmed audio from Denny Hamlin in the winner's circle with the sword.
There can be only one.
That's unconfirmed at this point for Denny Hamlin.
Is he in the Highlander remake, by the way?
That'd be kind of awesome. First win for you. You've got 6 points. Third straight top five with Kyle Larson finishing fifth. For me, I've got 9. And Fred, back-to-back top tens, got a couple of points on the docket as well. Also, Jim, you get to go first this week, then Fred, and I pick last for Echo Park.
All right. I'm going to go Chase Elliott.
Chase Elliott. All right. Fred.
I was going to go Chase Elliott, so I'll say Tyler Reddick.
Tyler Reddick. It's a Grand Prix, so I'm going to go with the notorious SVG, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Almost went with Shane Van Gisbergen.
Yep.
Almost, but I did not.
It's my guy. It's my people.
It's your people, so we'll let you pick your people. Yep. So once again, that is on Fox TV this Sunday from Texas, 1:30 our time. Fred, enjoy the weekend of racing, and we'll talk to you again next week. I think back to the regular time next week, I believe. So,
All right.
Back on Thursday. Fred, appreciate it. Thanks for adjusting your schedule.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. There he goes, burning out of the pits. Those $1,500 tires. NASCAR, Fred.
There can be only one.
And that's our show for today. Thanks again for joining us. So tomorrow, once again, just a quick reminder, 7 to 9 tomorrow for our program, because I'll have a first full day of tournament coverage. Mm-hmm. With NCAA tournament today starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with Westwood One. So we'll be here from 7 to 9. We will have Team's Team of the Week tomorrow. We're going to get somebody lined up for that tomorrow. Looking forward to having them on. And, of course, that's brought to you by Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. So join us tomorrow morning, 7 to 9. And don't forget the final night of the first four with Montana State against Grambling State. That starts with pregame at 4:30. Then see you. And Boise State tonight on the team. Thanks for joining us.